오늘 우리에게 주시는 하나님의 말씀은
Word of God given to us today is Acts 15 verses 12 to 21.
신약성경 214쪽 사도행전 15장 12절에서 21절입니다. 제가 봉독하겠습니다.
Allow me to read the text. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up, Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, After this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things, that have been known for ages. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are returning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. Amen. Our church established the Yanghwajin Cultural Center in order to communicate with society by sharing cultural events. For this purpose, we have been offering a Thursday lecture series to the community every week. As part of this, we held a lecture series once a month last year titled Lee Eun-young and Lee Jae-chul's talk on the meeting of intellect and spirituality. After this lecture series, the term intellect and spirituality started to be used by other religious organizations. In some theological seminaries, the study on humanities became further strengthened as a means to help gain a better understanding of the intellect. This was a result of the awareness that in order to become a mature Christian, one needs to have both intellect and spirituality. If God is one that can be perceived through our senses, then we human beings just need to feel God. If God has had a visual form, then we just need to see Him. But God is spirit, invisible to the eye. In order to build a relationship with God, we as human beings need spirituality. Spirituality can be defined as being awakened to God who is present with us. No matter how many spiritual training programs one has been through, if that person is not aware of the full presence of God in everyday life, then that person cannot be said to have spirituality. However, even if a person has not participated in any spiritual training program, if that person is able to respond to God with full awareness of His presence, then that person is a man of spirituality. The important fact here is that God is both spirit and logos, which means God exists in words as well. In order to understand the word logos, we need to understand the word logic. And logic is based on intelligence. Intellect is not something from human beings. Intellect is something given to us by God. God made us in His image. God's image means His trait and temperament. When God made us in His image, by giving us His trait and temperament, He also gave us intellect. Thus, man understands the words of God, which is logos, by using his intellect.
마태복음 7장 3절을 통해서 이렇게 말씀하셨습니다.
Jesus said in Matthew 6 verse 7, Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? The word pay attention comes from the Greek verb katanao, which means to perceive. This implies that Jesus was trying to point out that we are not using our intellect to perceive the plank in the eyes, but seeing the speck of sawdust in the other's eyes. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 28, And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. The word see how is translated from the Greek word katamanthano. This word has the same meaning as consider, and is used only once in the entire New Testament. It means to use your intellect to figure out how the lilies of the field grow. Does it grow by itself? Does it seed itself and cultivate by itself? God will still clothe the grass which is to be thrown into fire tomorrow, and do you think He will not clothe you? You all see the grass growing everywhere. Why, aren't you perceiving the grace of God who loves you more than the grass? You have such little faith, he said. According to Mark 8, Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he further fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and 2 fish. After this, Jesus warned his disciples to be careful of the Pharisees and Herod's yeast. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. But the disciples, as soon as they heard the word yeast, thought that Jesus was commenting about them not having packed a meal. Although by this time they had already witnessed Jesus' miracle of 5 bread and 2 fish and 7 bread and 2 fish, their interests were still solely on things of the flesh. This time Jesus scolds the foolish disciples by saying the following, Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? The word hardened here comes from the Greek word paru. This word is used to describe a state in which a person loses his ability to comprehend and think. The Bible of the French language, which is recognized as having the most precise grammar and being the most articulate and expressive of all languages, translates this phrase as, Is your intellect clogged? If one would use his or her intellect, then one can at least understand, easily understand that this yeast does not mean a packed meal. So in this context, Jesus is scolding the disciples for not using their intellect. The reason why Jesus emphasized our intellect so much is because intellect and spirituality are inseparable. Sound spirituality is always accompanied by sound intellect. Spirituality without intellect can reduce radical faith and make us fall into a labyrinth. And spirituality without intellect is nothing more than a harmful weapon for mankind. Then this raises an important question. If sound spirituality is accompanied by sound intelligence, then what is the level of intellect that Christians must have? How much education should a Christian receive? What is the minimum learning and academic degrees we must have? And how many books must we have read? If one was not able to obtain an education due to the poor financial situation of his or her family, then does that mean that this person who is not recognized in this world as an intellectual cannot be a sound spiritual Christian? Can only those who have received higher education and have doctorate degrees who are recognized by the world as being intellectuals live a sound spiritual life? 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came to Israel, there were numerous academies at Athens and across the Mediterranean region. But Jesus never studied at any academy. Neither did he obtain a degree after he came up to Jerusalem. Among the many sermons and parables of Jesus that are recorded in the Bible, there is not one which quotes the Greek classics, which at the time was a must-read for intellectuals. And there is also no proof anywhere that the Lord knew Greek, which was the common language of the Mediterranean world. From the perspective of Jewish society of that time, Jesus, who did not have a formal education, could not be considered an intellectual. And also, what about his disciples? They were the same as Jesus in that they did not receive any schooling. They were ignorant fishermen and tax collectors. Before they were called by the Lord, they did not read one book for their enrichment. They could not even read. Would they have even known the names of Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle? They were merely unlearned men who were as far apart from intellectuals as possible. But to these ignorant disciples, Jesus scolded them for not using their intellect to understand, not trying to think deeply by enlisting their intellect, and why their intellect was all clogged up. Thus we are able to confirm that the intellect that Jesus requires is different from the intellect that the world is talking about. The intellect that the world talks about is acknowledged through a certain level of learning and academic degree. In order to obtain it, it is necessary to read through a certain amount of literature in the field. But But what Jesus required from his unlearned disciples was healthy common sense. Common sense means the general knowledge, comprehension, judgment, and discernment which a human being must have. God gave this healthy common sense to all human beings. That I call this healthy common sense is to distinguish it from the common sense that has become distorted by fallen men. Let's think about this. Is it necessary to have a certain degree of education to understand that if one can see a speck in another one's eyes, then one should be able to see the log in one's own eye? Not at all. It is enough to have healthy common sense to understand that. Is it necessary to have an academic degree to think about the fact that if God arrays flowers of the field that will be grown into the fire with beauty more beautiful than the robes of Solomon, then he would surely care for us, his children. All that is required is sound common sense. Is there a special book that you have to read in order to understand that the life that the Lord who cares for His people requires of us is not the life that makes bodily food the purpose life? No. A sound spirituality is always accompanied by sound intellect. Spirituality without intellect, and intellect lacking in spirituality, can only be imperfect. When spirituality is together with intellect, like two wheels, can our faith mature every day? But the intellect that the Bible requires, the intellect that Jesus requires, is not schooling, an academic degree, or any quantity of books. It is healthy common sense that God gives us. So even if a person has never gone to school, one can live in sound spirituality. Academic learning or degree cannot guarantee a deeper spirituality. To Christian, what is more important than schooling or academic degree is healthy common sense. I will read to you a request for advice I received from a sister with her permission. Hello, Pastor. I'm a very ordinary member of the church with two sons. The reason I am seeking your advice regarding faith is because I am uncertain about what spirituality is. I'm the eldest of two girls in my family. My sister, since she was little, was a child who spared no effort to be closer to God. So she always reminded me of my laziness and shortcomings in terms of faith. Before, I didn't like what she said, but because I knew she was not wrong, I agreed with her inside. But several years ago, she read a book called Christians Who Go to Hell and began attending a certain church. Since then, I could not understand what she was saying, and I was greatly bothered by it. But since I really didn't know how to go about it, I just suffered inside and couldn't really tell her what my thoughts were. These days, she only seems to seek spiritual things. If there are magic, witches, monsters, or dolls in a comic book that my children reads, she says they are all spiritually bad, and she says Santa Claus is a conspiracy of Satan who hides the place of the Lord. Of course I know that they are not good, but since you cannot cut them off forever, I wanted to talk to my children about it step by step so that they could gradually understand. And since Santa Claus is a memory from childhood, I did not want to go as far as to take it away from them. But my sister says I am like that because I am too spiritually dull. Yes, that is correct. I am dull spiritually. However, I am confused as to what the things she talks about really is spiritual. Actually, my husband is a minister in training. I became to know you, Reverend Lee, because my husband enjoys reading your books. Recently, my husband, who took care of the children's ministry, was assigned to church administration. I thought this was due to the goodwill of the Lord. However, my sister says that the assignment will not help my husband's ministry, and I should pray so that my husband may be reassigned to a different department, and that it is something that would depend on my spiritual power as the spouse of a minister. I trust and believe that God has called my husband to that department as a part of his plan. And no matter where he goes next, that too would be part of God's plan. But my sister says I am being that way because I am not spiritual. Actually, it is not my sister who I cannot believe, but the church that is teaching this type of spirituality to her. I am wondering whether this church is some heretical cult. They only seem to criticize other churches and pastors. I did listen to the church's internet sermon several times because of my sister, but I could never finish listening to these sermons because they were always full of criticisms. There are so many things that I want to say, but I will stop for now. Pastor, is my sister really spiritual? Am I right to just let her continue to attend this church? What should I do? Thank you for reading this letter, which is lacking in so many ways. How do you see the situation? Is her sister genuinely spiritual? If she is not, what is the reason for it? If you had received the same letter for advice, how would you answer it? I answered her letter to this effect. Spirituality is living with healthy common sense. Since your sister is outside common sense, she is not spiritual at all. Why is it important that sound spirituality contains with it healthy common sense? It is because if you get away from common sense or fall short of it, far from inspiring your family who shares blood ties, like the instance we just confirmed, we will create distrust. For a person who seeks spirituality to have healthy common sense is to find a point of contact with the world by having healthy common sense. It is possible to let spirituality flow into the world and take a step further beyond healthy common sense to live a life which transcends it and thereby is able to receive trust and respect of the world. Right relationship between sound spirituality and healthy common sense is thus very important. The subject matter of the First Jerusalem Council that we have studied for the past 13 weeks is the circumcision of the Gentile Christians who accepted the Lord. As we confirmed last week, James, who served as the first chairperson of the Jerusalem Council, gave the final decision that the Gentiles are to be no longer tormented by this issue. He made it clear that it is a sinful act to require circumcision as a mandatory requirement for salvation of the Gentiles who have already received God's salvation. And James continued as follows. Verses 20 to 21. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. Although the subject matter of the First Jerusalem Council was circumcision of Gentiles, James' interest was not limited to the Gentiles, but also to the Jewish people. At that time, there were synagogues for Jewish people not only in the land of Israel, but all across the Mediterranean. And wherever Jewish people had lived, Moses' law was preached on every Sabbath. And there were certain things that every Jew abhorred. The first related to polluted idols. In other words, eating food which had been offered to a foreign god. The second was sexual immorality. In shrines of foreign gods, and in these shrines, there had been shrine prostitutes who openly conducted sexual acts in the name of their gods. And the third was eating meat of strangled animals or drinking the blood of animals. Because blood of an animal does not get drained if it is not cut but strangled. Eating such animal is like eating its blood as well. Because the Jewish people considered blood as life, it was an abominable act to eat strangled animal or drink blood. Because the Jews and the Gentiles at the time had completely different customs and way of thinking, it was clear that Jewish Christians and Gentiles would be as different as water and oil within the Christian community if Gentile Christians, without any hesitation, engaged in conduct abhorred by Jewish Christians. In addition, if the church was full of such Gentile Christians, it would be almost impossible to draw non-believer Jewish people to the church. As long as churches had such Gentile Christians, it would have been impossible for the church to become the church for the general population that is connected to the world. That is why James, the chairperson of the First Jerusalem Council, arranged to have letters sent to Antioch Church and other Gentile churches telling Gentile Christians to abstain from conduct abhorred by Jewish people. James requested Gentile Christians to harmonize with Jewish Christians in churches and to have sound common sense so that they could have some connection to non-believing Jewish people when delivering the gospel. Why do we disdain monks who engage in violent acts against other monks? It is because, although we don't know exactly what's written in the Buddhist scripture, we believe such behavior falls far short of our common understanding of the proper life of a monk. Why do we, even if we are not Buddhists, respect monk Songchul and monk Hopjeong, who had lived a noble life? It is because without any regret, they abandoned the religious privileges and rights that they could have enjoyed their entire lives. And such conduct transcended our common sense. Then we can understand why today's churches of Korea are the subject of criticism. Isn't it because churches of this land and each of us forming part of Korean churches live a life falling far short of common sense? Look at the embarrassing incidents happening in today's Korean churches. Aren't they far, far short of common sense? If such deeds continue, wouldn't we become untrustworthy to our families as well as the people of this world? The true spiritual life is living with sound common sense that God gave to us. Let us become people of sound common sense so that we can communicate with people around us as well as the world. Let us not just rest our common sense but become true disciples of the Lord by giving up our privileges and rights without any regrets and thereby transcend common sense. From then, the world will attentively listen to us and trust our words, and we will be able to inspire others and become the light of this world. Let us pray. O Father, we confess that because we have lived a life falling short of common sense, we were unable to communicate not only with my family, but also the people around me. We testify that because we lacked common sense, people plugged their ears to God's message we tried to deliver instead of being inspired by it. We repent that because my life as a member of this church fell far short of common sense, churches of this country became a subject of criticism and humiliation. Help us not forget that the true spiritual life is a life of sound common sense so that we do not lose our communication connection with the world. Help us so that we will not rest satisfied in a life of common sense, but become truly spiritual Christians who are able to discard our privileges and rights for our Lord and thereby become true spiritual Christians who transcend common sense and thus allow us to inspire our family, the people around us, and every person we meet with the Lord's words and let us experience the joy of living as a light in this darkness, dark world until the day the Lord calls us. I pray in the name of Jesus, amen.